Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Today is the feast of St. Michael and All Angels, which provides us with a great backdrop as we meditate on the topic of humility. Let's go straight to the action. In Revelation 12, we read about the war that arose in heaven, the angelic fight against the devil. And the dragon was defeated, and his angels, that is, the demons, the fallen angels, fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Down, down, down. Kind of reminds me of when I was a kid, or even when my children were younger and we'd wrestle around in the house, trying to break all the fine china, right? Knock stuff off the walls. You never wanted to get pinned down, did you, Jonas? Bethany. If you did, you had a three count to get loose before it was official that you'd lost the contest, the battle, the wrestling match. One, two, three. And then comes the statement of victory, right? Winner! Down, down, down. And then the statement of victory. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, pinned. Can you see him? The one who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. For they loved not their lives, even unto death. Revelation 12, 10 to 11. There we hear the angelic battle and how it was carried out. Namely, with words. Not with swords and shields, as we might think in our Western world, but with words. Because that's what angels are, after all. Speakers of God's word. They are messengers. That's the literal definition of the Greek word angelos that gives us angel. Messenger. One who speaks God's word. One who fights with God's words. The demonic messengers, Satan and his angelos, the deceiver of the whole world, wields the weapon of accusations. The accuser of our brothers, he's described as in Revelation. While we and every other member of God's holy kingdom contend with and conquer the fallen foe by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, that we are Christians, loving not our lives even unto death. Meaning, I would rather have my head chopped off, be fed to lions, burned at the stake, crucified, than give up the word incarnate for the forgiveness of my sins. We confess the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation of our body and soul. The battle was won by Christ on the cross. The blood of the Lamb. The Lamb who is the very Word of God made flesh. Sent down to the earth to silence the accuser once and for all. The battle was won by Jesus. On the ground as he wrestled with Satan. The gospel testimony that saves even those who will lose their lives. Satan is defeated by the speaking of the gospel. Amen and amen. It is finished. Let me declare victory, Jesus says. Now, humility is the core of today's message as we read through all the readings. You might have thought it was about angels, and they're mentioned. But really, the core is humility. So Jesus won the battle against Satan and his evil army, not by rising up in heavenly arms, but by coming down to earth, by humbling himself. You see, Satan is the poster child for pride. He sought equality with God, and he was going to do it by revolution. But Christ Jesus is the epitome of humility, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death. Death on a cross. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. And since the Christian, you and I, are born into Christ's body through holy baptism, we have become part of Christ, since we're brought into holy communion with him in the Lord's Supper, we're not surprised to find that Scripture teaches that we're not to be proud revolutionaries like the devil, but that our disposition is to be one of humility. Now, I already reread the Revelation reading. There, Satan, who thought he could rise up by his own personal strength, was humbled as he was thrown down into the dirt of earth. The snake on his belly, given only to ever eat the dust of mankind. As Jesus said, whoever exalts himself, thinks highly of himself, is proud of himself, he will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself, well, he will be exalted. Matthew 23, 12. Our gospel reading taught this very same thing, didn't it? The disciples came to Jesus saying what all sinful men like to say. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Certainly it's me, Lord, right? And calling to him a child, an infant, toddler-type child, in the Greek, a paideion, a little itty-bitty one that is completely dependent upon his parents. Nothing he does for himself. He put him in the midst of them and said, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility is the Christian disposition, not the pursuit of greatness, not pride. It is pride that keeps so many from believing in Christ Jesus. They refuse to humble themselves. They want everything their way, on their terms, and so they don't even set foot in the church. Or they choose a church that, astonishingly enough, matches exactly how they would have things be. What do we hear in the Old Testament reading? That Daniel had humbled himself, it said. That is, and we don't often like this language, but he feared the heavenly. He feared his God. Now, Daniel was a wise man, the wise man in the Old Testament. Literally, a wise man in the king's court. And he wasn't all that in a bag of chips. He didn't walk around like he was the cat's meow. He wasn't full of himself. But like Christ, he emptied himself of pride, and acknowledged that God, Yahweh, was greater than him. He was but a mere servant. That God could pin him down into the dirt, the very dirt of death, if he so chose. Humility. Humility is knowing when to say uncle. Anybody ever do that when you wrestled around? Uncle! Right? Yeah. I don't know what your code word was. Maybe it was just, ow, stop. Humility is knowing when to say uncle. When to give in. When to forfeit the battle and acknowledge how things are. That you're the weaker one. That you depend on God. To humble yourself is to fear God. To be wise in the face of the one who gives you life and who can take it away. The one who can destroy not only your body, as other men can, but your soul as well. That's what humility is. It's taking all your puffed up presentation of independence and strength, casting it aside, and being man enough to admit you're not able to save yourself. You're not able to exist for 1 hour on your own. Hold your breath for 1 hour, and then we can talk whether I'm right or wrong. You need God and His favor. That's humility. And there is nothing wrong with that. In fact, there is everything right with that. This is why churches today, probably throughout history, but I wasn't alive throughout all of history, this is why churches today tend to be populated by the elderly and the dying. Right? We live in an age of pretend. We live in an age of pride, where death will happen to others, but never to me, until we get a little older. Right? When you're younger, my dad was a sheriff, and he used to always talk about being 10 feet tall and bulletproof. You know, the young sheriffs on the patrol, they were 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Nothing would ever happen to them. The guys who were a little wiser, been around a while, well, they knew it could happen to anybody, right? Same thing happens for us, spiritually speaking, and we see it reflected in the church. Churches tend to be populated by older folks because they're no longer playing pretend. It's the same reason you will not find on a battlefield or in any place where death is imminent an atheist. I mean, seldom. You might find somebody who's just dug in their heels, but you don't tend to find these people. Because when you finally come to terms with death, when you finally realize that your pride, your thinking that you were dependent and autonomous and you could just do all this all yourself, doesn't exist, that the man is mortal, that your pride won't help you in the end, the facade is dropped. Right? And you're humbled. And so you go to where you can get care and help. You rightly fear the one who's in charge of your life, and you beg, yes, beg, like a servant, that your master show you mercy. That is what we are. If you read through Scripture, you will find the servant language. Servant language is usually, more often than not, slave language. It's not like a nice house servant, like Mr. Belvedere or something. No, it is a slave. And your master, your Lord, that's the language of Lord, is master. He is loving and merciful. He's a good Lord. He's a good master. As Psalm 51 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. That is the disposition of begging, of being just down to nothing and turning to the one who can help. That's what we offer to God, and that is what He will not despise, he says. Psalm 51:17. The Daniel reading shows us humility for what it is. He is trembling and fearful. But let me back up for a second. Let me read you a little bit of context. You might find this really interesting. In Daniel, he had to be told to fear not. We get that a lot. The angels show up and, woo, people are afraid and fear not. So Daniel's told to fear not when he stands up trembling, hearing the words. Right? This is what we heard. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and you humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard. He's praying to God. He acknowledged God's in control. I'm going to bow down and pray to you, God. I want to have a humble heart. Please help me. Now, this is what Daniel 10:5, what came just before our reading, says. I lifted up my eyes, and I looked, and behold, A man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. Now already, if you've been coming to the Revelation study, you know what we're talking about. This is a picture of Jesus, right? This is exactly how Revelation describes Jesus. And Daniel writes, I saw the vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words. And as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face on the ground. Prostrate, the form of worship, right? Daniel feared God. Humility. See, we all like to pretend there's nothing to fear when it comes to God. Right? We do. This is an American problem, a Protestant problem, I think. We like to pretend that God is love. Well, we don't have to pretend that part. John tells us God is love. And since he is love, my definition of love forms him. And our American definition of love is pretty loose, and usually means whatever makes someone happy, right? And since God wants to make me happy, he'd never hurt a hair on my head. That's not the God of Scripture. That's the God of your own making. The only reason Christians can cuddle up with God unfearing is because through baptism, communion, the working of faith in our hearts through the preached word, the means of grace, we've been brought into life, death, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Because we know that God hurt every single hair on his head, in our stead, we do not fear him. But this security that the Christians have is wrongly held for those who take Christ for granted. For those who are Christian in name only, or have turned away from their baptism or the preaching of the word at all. Reject God? Deny Christ? Think yourself bigger than your britches? Act like Satan? And the God you make out to be all friendly and docile will pin your butt to the ground so hard there'll be no getting up. No resurrection to life everlasting. When you deny Christ, you deny the protection and the love of the Lord, and you put yourself under the penalty of law, God's law that we break every minute. Humility. Humility is what we learn from our readings today. Christ loves you, is what we learn from our readings today. He loves you so much that he took what was coming to you, so you wouldn't have to endure it at all. So you would only know that God is love. And because the triune God doesn't want you to be defeated by the accusations of the devil in your wrestling match with Satan, he humbled himself to bring you into his humility. Who used to watch the WWF or the WWE? Anybody ever watch professional wrestling? What do they do when they have a tag team match? One guy's getting licked and he reaches out, touches the other guy, he jumps in and he pins the guy, right? That's what's happened with Christ and you. The devil was whooping you. You were laying there dead. You weren't reaching. You were laying there dead. Christ came, tagged in, and he cleaned his clock. That's how much God loves you. You were 1, 2, 3 down. He was 1, 2, 3 days in the tomb. But instead of being pinned by the devil, he flipped him on his back and he declared that he was the winner once and for all. No more contest. He won the battle. In humility, you receive his trophy, his crown. To which we can all say the words of the introit. Would you pull that out? Pull out your yellow insert. This is now interactive class time. pull out your yellow insert as we look at the Intuit. And I gotta find where I put mine. I should have maybe planned that a little better. Okay. What does it say, the very first verse of the Intuit? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Let's say that together, because this is what has happened. The Lord has won a victory for us, so we all say now, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Amen.